In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the 9th and 10th Mishnah from the second Perek of Masechta Mikvaot. And the Mishnah really continues from what we were discussing yesterday. And that is kanim jugs that happen to fill up with water. And it wasn't the intention of the person when he placed the jugs there, but they did fill up with water. Is it considered drawn water? Can they be used for a mikvah? So the case here is hamasader kankanim betoch habor. What a person has done, he's placed some newly made earthenware jugs inside a pit full of water. And his intention was that these new earthenware containers, they would absorb as much liquid as possible so that when he puts his product in it, say for example wine, it doesn't get lost and absorbed in the walls. And what happened? Nitmal umayim, meaning that what happened is that these jugs eventually themselves filled with water. So they weren't immersed in the water completely to start with. They were just resting in the water and the water was on the side walls. But then what happened is, because it got completely saturated, water started seeping in and it filled up that way. Alternatively, then actually nitmal umayim, another explanation is they actually ended up becoming completely immersed in the water. That wasn't his intention, but that's what happened. And they filled up with water. Mishnah says, "Afal pi shabalah habor et meimav," even though that the water within that bore, within that pit of water, actually dried out, and all you're left with is that mayim in the kankanim, the water in the kankanim. We say in that situation, harei shaver, you can simply smash the kelim, these kankanim, and then and use that water to fill up the mikvah because they're not considered mayim shuvim. There's a discussion whether this is only the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, because that seems to fit in with what his position was in the last Mishnah, or whether this could even include the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. What we find here is this particular case seems to be in between the two cases yesterday. The best situation was yesterday when the person placed the kankanim on the roof. He had no intention of filling up with water. In fact, he didn't want any water to touch it because he wanted to dry out. That's what we found the most lenient position. Then in the second case yesterday, where the sayad, the person who was liming them, the boar, left it at the bottom, that's the most stringent case in terms of the spectrum of Mishnayot. Because we said in that situation, Rabbi Yeshua, if we're just working with Rabbi Yeshua, in that situation we said Rabbi Yeshua says you can smash it. According to Kahati, which we didn't mention yesterday, he agrees there still has to be at least some water in that boar. However, in this case, it seems to be somewhat in between. In that it's a bit like the first case, meaning his intention wasn't to fill the jugs at all. I mean, it's a bit like the roof, but it's not as light as the roof, meaning it's such that Rabbi Yeshua in this situation says you can only smash it, you can't tip it over like if it was left on the roof to dry, but it's not as stringent as the second case we learned yesterday that he requires at least some water in the mikveh like Rabbi Eliezer. In this case, it can be completely emptied, as it says, Afa bisha balab haborad meimav, you can simply smash them and fill up the mikveh that way, even if there was no other water in there to start with. Let's now learn Mishnah Yud. Mikveh sheyesh bo arbim se'am mayim v'tit. What happens if you have a mikveh that is a bit muddy? So there's water and there's also some muddy or clay, really, sort of mud in it. But it's liquidy, it's not solid. Because we'll learn exactly where the line is drawn towards the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Matbilim b'mayim v'in balim b'tit." When you go to the mikveh, ensure that you immerse in the water part and not the mud. I mean, despite the fact this mud can actually, it can be included to make the shiur of 40 se'ah, the fact it's muddy doesn't make it invalid, it can be included to bring it to 40 se'ah. Nonetheless, Rabbi Eliezer says you should only immerse in the part that is water and not the part that's muddy. So Rabbi Yoshua, Omer Rabbi Yoshua, says, "B'mayim u'batit," you can immerse in both. And the Mishnah then says, "Be'ezer tit matbilim," according to Rabbi Yoshua, what situation is that in terms of the mud? How can you immerse in it? It says, "Betit shehamayim tzafim agabav." That's mud that the water would float over the top of it. Which means, for example, Kati explains, I'll read it inside, "Afal pi shereglav shel tovel shokat l'toch hapit." Despite the fact the foot of the person immersed in mikvah might get immersed in the mud itself, or the clay, then we say that since as he's doing so, water already precedes it, that water is considered connected to the mikveh, and it's considered as if it's completely surrounded by mikveh water, and it would still be okay. Hayu amayim mitzad echad. What happens if the mud seemed to be really isolated to one side, meaning it's not just mixed together? We say then that situation, then he would agree that again, despite the fact it can be counted towards a minimum amount of 40 se'ah, Rabbi Yeshua in that situation says, since it's really partitioned in such a way, you should immerse in the water side and not in the mud. Now the Mishnah addresses the question, how liquidy is the mud such that it can count to the arbim se'ah? So we start from the most stringent opinion, all progressing to the most lean, as you'll see. The first one is b'tichah kaneh yored me'alav. So if we're dealing with mud, that the kaneh, a reed, if you rested it on top of it, it would just simply sink in on its own. That's how liquid it has to be, how viscous, if you like, has to be, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says, no, makom she'in kaneh mida omed. Meaning, he says, it can even be muddy such you have to press it down to so it rests. However, it won't be able to stand on its own. It will simply tip over, even when if it's immersed in the mud, this kaneh, this reed. Abba Elazar ben Dolai omer, he says, makom she'amash mishkolet yored. So mishkolet, it's a plumb line, so it's got a metal weight. So in that situation, even if it can't, even if a reed can't rest in it or it stands up straight if it's forced in, he says, provided that if a mashkolet, a weight would sink in it, that would be viscous enough. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, hayored b'pi chavit. He says that if it's liquidy enough, such that it could be poured into the mouth of a barrel. Now, if you remember the barrels in Mishnah, the necks were narrow. It's not like you envisage whiskey barrels. It was more like a clay barrel that the neck was narrow. So therefore, if it could pour into such a barrel, then chavit, then it would be liquid enough. Rabbi Shimon says, "Hanichnas b'shufferet hanod." So this is the shufferet is like a straw that was in a nod, is like a leather drinking bottle. So that opening is even bigger. And Rebbe Elazar bat Tzadok omer hanimdad belog. He says if you can pour into a kli, in which they would measure out a log's amount of liquid, so that the opening of such a kli is even bigger, if the mud could pour into that sufficiently, that would be liquid enough, according to Rebbe Elazar bat Tzadok. So that's the varieties of opinion. Kati says the halachah of Rabbi Yehuda, so it's makom she'in kaneh hamida omed, that the reed, if you could place it in there, but it wouldn't be able to stand up on its own. That's our measure of what's too muddy or not too muddy. Also not too hard, or like, is it liquid enough to be considered part of the mikvah? Those are the Mishnah today.